So, are you sitting comfortably? Exactly. Once upon a time, there was a Jedi Knight. And the Jedi Knight asked his great master, why is the power of darkness so much stronger than the power of light? And the Jedi Master said, it's not stronger. It's faster, easier, and more seductive. That's the story for today. Bodhicharyavatara in the 7th century, Shantideva said, the power of evil is exceedingly strong and the power of good is weak. If it were not for the awakening mind, how could evil ever be overcome? So just hold those two quotes. A Jedi warrior and a warrior for the Dharma in the 7th century. So the awakening mind that Shantideva talks about, the awakening mind which can overcome, is the only thing that can really overcome. Not so much overcome evil as overcome the dichotomy between evil and good, is the Bodhi heart. It's the awakened heart or the awakened mind. It's a translation of bodhicitta. So bodhicitta is a term that we often find, well, we find very centrally to certain schools of Buddhism. So it's often sometimes translated as the thought of enlightenment, the bodhicitta, but thought is a very weak translation for citta. Citta is mind or heart. In fact, it's mind and heart together. So it's volition. Citta is volition. So it's the volition towards awakening and the awakened heart that results from that volition. And it's an awakened heart which is awake to all beings and awake to the needs and the cries of all beings. So I'm going to come back to that, to bodhicitta. Bodhicitta is the very heart of what's known as the bodhisattva ideal, the wonderful and sublime ideal that's central to Mahayana Buddhism, which is the whole kind of thrust of Buddhism in which personal practice is not only in terms of one's personal, it's not only a method of personal development, but is also an orientation of life towards interconnectedness and towards working in the service of all beings. So what I want to explore really this morning as a very important background to the work that reconnects is the whole idea of interconnectedness. So we bandy the term around quite a lot, and I'm sure we all have a felt sense of what we mean by that. We've all had an experience, I'm sure, of interconnectedness. But what I wanted to do this morning was maybe unpack that term and at least share what it means for me and just, you know, hopefully bring that into relationship in a way that might be useful and helpful for people. So I thought, first of all, I'd just tell you another little bit about my history. My history. You know, I said the other day, didn't I? I've got 5 planets in Leo. I think I'm the most fascinating thing in the universe, as Leos tend to. And strangely enough, I'm extrovert with all that. So. But more seriously, I often think when I hear other people talk about their own particular history of how Buddhism's affected them or how they've come across it or whatever, I find it quite deeply moving. Maybe it's what Sophia was saying this morning about speaking from that very deep and real place in ourselves, quaking, as it were, with the need to share and the need to hear. And I feel as if I could, maybe I could be in a 12-step program just now. You know, I could just say to you, my name's Parami and I'm an egoholic. My name's Parami and I'm a samsaraholic. And I'm working with that. So speaking from that, I'll tell you my story as we do sometimes in such meetings. So I won't give you the whole gory details, but once upon a time, I was walking up Sucky Hall Street. Well, I was walking down a flight of stairs into Sucky Hall Street, and I'd been sitting for about the previous 20 minutes thinking, I must change my life. I really must change my life. My life is falling apart. I must change my life. So I was 25 years of age. It was very recently. It was in 1977, and I'll leave you to do the math. So I was thinking, I really must change my life. And I walked down this flight of stairs into Sucky Hall Street and saw a poster which said, change your life. Okay, I thought. Not being a girl to turn my back on the messages of the universe, I rang the telephone number at the bottom, and it was Glasgow Buddhist Centre. And it was advertising a series of taped lectures by Sangharakshita called Buddhism for Today and Tomorrow. So I'd already come across a bit of Buddhism. Most famously, the Tibetan Book of the Dead read to me while I was on acid in Loch Lomond Beach. It was one of my first encounters with Buddhism. So that had been some years previously. And so there I was, 1977, quite deeply disillusioned by a lot of things in my life. Disillusioned by relationships, disillusioned by politics, disillusioned by education, disillusioned by career, disillusioned, and this was the hard one, disillusioned by sex and drugs and rock and roll. You know, there was, yeah, wanting to change my life. And I went and I listened to this this tape lecture given by Sangharakshita a couple of years, or maybe the year before. He'd given this series of four talks called Buddhism for Today and Tomorrow.